Thank the Lord this morning for each one that is able to come out to the house of the Lord today. Desire and interest in your prayers, we look into the Word. I've written on the board the silent years. I'd like to begin in the book of Malachi, the fourth chapter. Take note as we read, and I will just say with this passage of Scripture, it's why it's helpful. Sometimes it's easy to follow when the minister will just read one verse and you listen to it and it registers. But when there's more than just a couple of verses read, I have found it's difficult to follow. When I'm sitting where you're sitting, it's difficult sometimes to follow just listening to someone read. So with this passage of Scripture, I think it would be helpful. It's one of the reasons it's good to have your Bible out, and I know young people, sometimes it's digital or it doesn't. The Bible is God's Word in whatever form. So just so long as you're not texting. But to have it out and read along, it's all right. So in Malachi chapter 4, this is the last chapter in the Old Testament. Last chapter written in the Old Testament. He said, "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. You shall tread upon the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the sole of your feet in that day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send unto you Elijah the prophet before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers of the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." Now I will acknowledge that that's a mouthful. And I want to break it down by the help of the Lord just a little bit, and we'll continue on probably in another service dealing a little bit more with it. But this, in this last chapter, take note that after you read this chapter, at least in my Bible, it says the end of the Old Testament. This was the last recorded prophet that God sent to the children of Israel for a period of 400 years. And in that period, from the time that this was written, around 430, 397 BC, somewhere in that area, to the coming of Christ, and right before Christ was John the Baptist, there was a period of about 400 years, and that is known or often referred to as the silent years. The year that the end of the Old Testament, the Old Covenant was still in place. But yet God saw fit not to send another major prophet. There's nothing else recorded from God for 400 years. We will find that Anna was a prophetess in the time of Christ. She was faithfully serving God in the temple, fasting day and night. So it wasn't that God was not moving in the lives of individuals, but there had been no major word from God to the children of Israel for a period of 400 years. Now, 400 years seems like a long time in a sense. It's a lot longer than our lifetime, for sure. Well, in this passage, it's noteworthy that there are three prophecies given in the fourth chapter of Malachi. Four prophecies that came to pass within 470 years of its writing. One of the prophecies was of the destruction of Jerusalem. When he said here, "The day cometh that shall burn as an oven," it was talking about the judgments of God on the Jewish people. It was the judgments of God on people that rejected Christ as the Messiah. And you can study it out, but I think it's noteworthy that this prophecy of the destruction of Jerusalem, it happened in 70 AD, if you will recall. But do you remember how many Christians were killed in that time? When Jerusalem was destroyed, just as a little side note here now, the Roman Empire was ruling, and I have these charts not to, I heard someone say as I set up the charts, it's going to be a difficult day. I don't think they were talking about the charts though. But, I just wanted to put these up as a little visual. The Roman Empire was the dominant world power at the coming, when Jesus was born. Remember? The Roman Empire would rule basically in essence most of the known world at the time when Jesus was born. And it was in AD 70 that Titus came and besieged Jerusalem. And none of the Christians, by the time that Titus besieged Jerusalem the second time, there were no Christians left in Jerusalem because they knew the prophecies. And I want us to understand it is so imperative this morning that we understand the prophecies. Jesus had told the children, the Christians in Luke 21:20, he said, when you see Jerusalem compassed about with armies, know that the desolation thereof is nigh. He was pointing back to one of the last prophecies given in the Old Testament. He said, let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereunto. So that historically, by Josephus and others, when the Christians saw the armies of Jerusalem surround, the armies of Rome actually surrounding Jerusalem, there was a period that the armies departed. All right? And when they saw the armies depart, the Christians got out of Jerusalem. And then the armies of Rome came back and surrounded Jerusalem and caused one of the most terrific times in Jerusalem. Mothers, there were cannibalism took place. It was a horrible time. Cannibalism, mothers, there's record of mothers eating their children. Horrible things happened in this time, and it was because God's judgments were being placed on a people that had rejected Jesus as their Savior. God did not cause the horrific things to happen like that, but He allowed the Roman army to come, and they destroyed Jerusalem. The temple was destroyed one more time, but there was not one Christian that lost their life. There were thousands upon thousands of Jews that lost their lives, but the Christians knew the prophecy. And when they saw the army surrounding Jerusalem, they said, we need to get out of here. And then the armies left, and all the Christians left Jerusalem. Well, that's one of the prophecies. He said, unto you that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. That was a prophecy of the coming of Jesus Christ. If you will trust in me, if you will put your trust in who I'm going to send, the Son of Righteousness would arise and there would be healing in his wings. Folks, Jesus fulfilled that prophecy. Our burden this morning is not to go into all of the Old Testament prophecies, at least today, but there were many prophecies pointing forward to the coming of Jesus Christ. Remember in the book of Daniel? When it said in the days of these kings, shall a stone be cut out of a mountain, it shall grow and fill the whole earth. In the days of what kings? In the days of the Roman Empire. We read about in the book of Daniel, we read about all of the four major dominant world powers spelled out specifically, prophesied what was going to happen. And it was in the days of those kings. There are many people that are waiting for Jesus to come and set up a kingdom on the earth. You know, there's a lot of Christian churches that are saying there's going to be a millennial reign and Jesus is going to set up a kingdom. Folks, the kingdom of God is here already. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. The prophecy said in the days of these kings, there would be a kingdom come. Well, what kings was he talking about? The Roman Empire. That's when Jesus was born. The kingdom of God has been established. And the Son of Righteousness has arisen with healing in his wings. And then he gave also a prophecy. He said, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Who was the forerunner of Christ? It was John the Baptist, wasn't it? And if you wonder why it said, Elijah, come back this afternoon for service, there'll be something good. Brother Ori Young was preaching one day. I remember as a child, and it got to about 12:30, and people started getting up and walking out. He'd been up quite a while, and he told them, he said, saints, you're going to miss something good. I'll tell you this, come back this afternoon, we're going to do a little bit more of this prophecy here about John the Baptist. But John the Baptist was the forerunner of Christ. And all of these prophecies were fulfilled. All right? Within, it was written, three major prophecies. The coming of Christ, the forerunner, John the Baptist, and then the destruction of Jerusalem. All of those were prophesied and they all took place. Well, and then we don't read any more. The next thing we read about is over in Matthew. We start reading about Jesus Christ. But 400 years had elapsed. It was a silent time. But do you know it was not an inactive time? There was a lot of stuff going on in this time period. Consider 400 years. Do you remember 400 years ago what was happening in this country? Jamestown was a colony. And they were struggling to make it. About 400 years ago, Manhattan was sold to the Dutch for $24. In today's dollars, that's about $1,000. Can you imagine Manhattan being sold for $1,000 of today's dollars? That was 400 years ago. 400 years ago in the 1600s, Galileo, remember, was being persecuted by the Catholic Church because he was advocating that the earth was not the center of the universe. And that the sun was the center and the earth revolved around the sun, not the other way around. That was 400 years ago. It was only 120 years ago that cars were invented. You know how life changed, how different it was? And I was thinking about the young people. You know, I grew up without internet. There was no such thing in essence. It was just as I was graduating college that we were just starting to use it just a little bit. Grew up without cell phones. There was no such thing. There was no such thing as social media, and thank God for that. But there was no such thing as that. Life was different, and that wasn't very many years ago. But hasn't life changed so much? I bring this out for us to recognize 400 years and God did not send a major prophet, no new word from heaven. Silence. But there was a lot going on from when this prophecy was given and when Jesus Christ came back. There were major political and social and religious changes taking place in the world. The Jews, just to refresh your mind just a little bit, the Jews have returned from Babylonian captivity. Remember we read in the scripture in the book of Daniel about the three Hebrew children and about Daniel? They were in Babylon at the time that King Nebuchadnezzar was king, one of the greatest kings of all time, over the mightiest, one of the mightiest kingdoms. And that was the Babylonian Empire. Remember the dream that he had? There was the head of gold that represented the Babylonian Empire. Well, that's where Daniel was. That's where the three Hebrew children were. And then the Medes and the Persians came and conquered the Babylonians. And then in that time period, the Jews were able to go back to Jerusalem. All right? They went back to Jerusalem. They rebuilt the temple. But one is to understand this. The Levitical priesthood, when the Jews went back to Jerusalem, after the Medes and the Persians conquered the Babylonians, the Levitical priesthood was restored. But it was not very long until the priests began to once again neglect worship in the temple. They began to neglect the fullness of the Word of God. The royal line of David never was reestablished again. And from the time that the children of Israel went back from captivity from Babylon, there was no more king of the line of David. No more king. They were under the rule of foreign governments. They were under the rule of the Babylonians. Then they were under the rule of the Medes and the Persians. Then they were under the rule of the Grecians and then the than the Roman Empire. The line of David was never reinstated. But do you remember what Jesus did? The prophecies that were given that he would sit on the throne of David and sit and rule over a kingdom that would never be removed? Do you realize that after not having a king of the line of David and then the Messiah came, it was prophesied? Well, during this period, and that's why I put up this chart just as a little visual aid, but it was during this period of 400 years that all of this political upheaval was taking place. From the time of the Medes and the Persians to the coming of Christ. 400 years of silence from God to the people as a whole. But during that time, there was a lot going on politically. The Grecians destroyed or conquered the Medes and the Persians. Do you remember just a little history lesson on that one? You'll think back to some of our Daniel studies. In the 8th chapter of Daniel, these things were prophesied. There were many prophecies that were given that were fulfilled in this 400 years. Many prophecies were fulfilled. You read in Daniel chapter 20, and it talks about the Medes and the Persians as a ram. And then it talks about the goat coming and conquering the ram, and the goat was the Greeks. And very specifically in Daniel 8:21, the prophecy was there. It said the Grecians, the king, it was the Greeks. The goat was the Greeks. You know, that's where Alexander, his name came from. He was the son of the goat. It was in prophecy. And the story is told, whether or not how valid it is, I don't know, but the story is told that when Alexander the Great, now that's a name most of you remember, he was the one that went out at the age of 20. At the age of 20, as a Grecian, and went out and they conquered the Medo-Persia Empire in a great victory, and they went out conquering the world. As their army approached Jerusalem, the story is told that the priests put on white garments and went out to meet them. And Alexander the Great went to meet them, and you know what the priests had with them? They had with them the scrolls of the book of Daniel. And they opened up the scrolls and they showed him how the Babylons fell to the Medes and the Persians, and the Medes and the Persians were going to fall to the Greeks. And it was typified or symbolized by a goat. And that was Alexander the Great. And Alexander the Great believed in the prophecy and he said, I'm going to spare Jerusalem. And he didn't destroy Jerusalem because he believed the prophecy. You see, these prophecies were not just there for no reason. During this period of silent years, prophecies were being fulfilled. And there were people, there were some that were still studying the book, and they still believed. I think it's a beautiful story, whether it's true or not. Like I said, I wasn't there. But that's the story that's told. But there were those that knew exactly what was going to happen because it was prophesied in that time. So what happened then as the Greeks began their influence spread across the world? Do you realize that in a part it prepared for the coming of the Messiah? Because people had been divided in their languages, but because of the Grecian influence, Greek began to be a common language. It was preparing for the writing of the scripture that could be shared around the world to the known world at the time, that people would understand the will of God. But with it, the Grecians brought a lot of liberal moral philosophies and principles of life. And it caused division within the Jews. Within the Jews, there were those that were wanting to hold on to the law of Moses, and then there was more liberal Jews. The Greeks' influence, because of their influence, they built sports stadiums. And they built, now there's a little warning here. It was those that were departing from the original law of God. They began to get focused on a loose lifestyle. They began to put their time and energy into the sports world. That was influence of the Greeks. They began to, in their manner of dress, in their manner of speaking, there was so much idolatry among the Greeks, they began to deviate from the one true God of Israel. So there's a lot of influence. And in that time, you will read then that Antiochus came, And that was prophesied as well in the book of Daniel when Antiochus came. And he caused a lot of destruction in Jerusalem. They said that there were 1,100,000 Jews that were killed. And the temple was desecrated. This is when he took the sow and he offered it as a sacrifice in the most holy place in the temple. That was prophesied in Daniel. It was the abomination of desolation. It was a desecration of the temple of God with Antiochus. And they suffered because they were turning their hearts away from God. Well, that ensued the Maccabean revolt. And we won't get all into the history of that this morning, but there caused a revolt against the foreign oppressors as well as almost a type of civil war. Those that were wanting to serve God and those that were Hellenized or those that were following the Greek lifestyle. Then we read about the temple being cleaned up a little while. During this time as well, a little bit previous to that, the priestly line under Antiochus, the priestly line was no more from the tribe of Levi. It began to be a political office. Well, we'll pay him this much, and whoever was a priest, they weren't even from the tribe of Levi anymore. It began to politicize. And that was what was going on among God's people during this silent years. Well, then we read of the Roman Empire coming in, conquering Jerusalem or Israel in 63 BC, and that was who was reigning. When Christ came, you know, one of the things the Romans did, they built highways. You know what those highways enabled the Christians to do? It enabled Christianity to spread so much more rapidly. I just want to point out this morning, and if you don't like history, and there's so much more on this, but if you don't like history, I just would that we understand that many of these things that happened in the silent years were prophesied by God. And at the same time, God sat back and he didn't send another major message to his people. It was the time that the children of Israel should have been studying the Word of God. It was a time they should have been faithful. It was a time they should have been diligent in serving the Lord. But many of them chose to be influenced by the liberalness of the society in which they lived. And God's judgment came upon those people in a horrible way. You see some parallels to where we are today? Well, had God forgotten his people? When God is silent, has God forgotten his people? God has not forgotten his people, folks. The prophecies were at work during this 400 years. It was silent. But there was a lot of activity. God had looked in the future and saw what was going to happen, and it was prophesied. And I am so thankful that God, when he is quiet, even in our lives today, if God seems not to be speaking real loudly, let us take note of what happened during the silent years. God knew what was going on. There were those that were turning away and becoming part of society in its worldliness, and there were those that were still staying faithful to God. And I would just like to say this. During the silent years, there's a meanwhile that could be written there. Meanwhile, at the end it says the end of the Old Testament, and I can just see meanwhile. Meanwhile, we read of Simeon in the second chapter of Luke. We read about Simeon, a man in Jerusalem who was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. The Lord was still dealing with individuals, all right? The Holy Spirit was still there. He was still working with individuals during the silent years. But here was a man, meanwhile, that was devout and just and steadfast in the Lord. He hadn't heard a prophet. He hadn't seen a major reformation take place. There was a reformation under Ezra and after the Maccabean revolt when the temple was cleansed, but there had not been a major prophet. None of it did God see fit to put after that prophecy of Malachi. But yet there was a man by the name of Simeon. And when he saw Jesus, when they brought him to the temple, it said he took him in his arms. And he said he blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Why? Because my eyes have seen the consolation of Israel. My eyes have seen the Messiah. My eyes have seen the one that is going to bring peace to the earth. That was Jesus Christ. Do you know there's peace? We are no longer under the Roman domination, but do you recognize that in our world there is a kingdom that the world can never take away, and that's the kingdom that's inside of you. That's the kingdom of God. Well, meanwhile, there was Simeon. Meanwhile, there was Zacharias in the temple. Meanwhile, there was Elizabeth. Meanwhile, there was a young lady by the name of Mary, 14, 15, 16 years old, that loved God and was still, they were trusting in the prophecies, looking forward to a better day. They knew that there was going to be a Messiah born. They knew that something was going to happen. And when Simeon saw it, he knew and he understood. Folks, during times of frustration, and it's silent, I want to encourage you to hold on to the Word of God. Because through it all, God has a plan. Galatians chapter 4, in the 4th verse, it said, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. Folks, there was all of this history going on for 400 years, all of the political upheaval, the spiritual upheaval, all of the liberalism amongst the Jews, all of those that were falling away and not observing the law of Moses. There were still a few people that knew what the Word of God said, and they believed it. And they were devout. And they kept the faith. But when the fullness of time was come, Jesus came. Folks, when the Lord is silent in your life, I want to encourage us to keep the faith this morning. Because when God says He's going to do something, He's going to do it. And you may say, but it's been silent. How long will God be silent? He was silent for 400 years to the people. Silent. How long will you wait for the fullness of time to come? Folks, when God says something's going to happen, it will happen. Even when He is silent. I take note, even in that 8th chapter of Daniel, and if that 8th chapter is so wonderful, full of prophecy, it might be time to do that again. I don't know. It's so much wonderful prophecy there, but in that prophecy, there's something that stood out to me in the vision Daniel had. He said, the vision of the evening and the morning, which was told, is true. I thought, you know what? Every prophecy that God gave, it's true. The Messiah was prophesied, it was true. The fall of the Medes and the Persians by the Grecians was prophesied, it was true. It was prophesied under the symbol of a goat. The son of the goat was the one that came and conquered the Medes and the Persians. That was Alexander the Great. You don't need to read it in the Bible. You can go in secular history and it measures to what the Bible prophesied. Well, the same thing with the Son of God being born. Folks, when God says something is going to happen, it is true. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Folks, the Word of God is true. So that brings us to where we are today. Jesus came, and the Son of Righteousness arose with healing in His wings. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But to those that received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Folks, there were many of the Jews that rejected Christ as the Messiah. And the judgment of God was placed on them. Last chapter of Malachi, Jerusalem was destroyed just shortly thereafter in AD 70. 30 years Within 30 to 40 years, Jerusalem was destroyed. Well, so Jesus came, and we had our study last year, the year before that. It was a lengthy one. We looked at the history of the church, those that held on to truth, those that compromised. We read about the darkness that spread on the face of the earth, the Roman Catholicism, so much truth was lost. We read about the Protestant Reformation, when light began to be rekindled and people began to one more time get a vision of what truth was all about. In the 1800s, in the late 1800s, we read and we see about how the Lord sent another, the message. It wasn't a new message. It was all in the Word of God. We read about how that we understand the church is one church. God doesn't want all these divisions among His people, and there's one church, and there was a rekindling, and God's people were reinvigorated, and the Reformation began to spread across this land. We have a song in our book, and I don't know what number it is. It said, there's a mighty Reformation doing what? Sweeping o'er the land. Number 10, I want to tell you something this morning. There is not a mighty Reformation sweeping o'er the land. Is that right? Is there a mighty Reformation still sweeping o'er the land? Everybody's afraid to answer that one, maybe. But there's not. But I want us to remember something. The Messiah is here, and He is working in individual lives. He is doing what He said He would do. To all of those that receive Him, to them He's still giving power to become the sons of God. There's not a great Reformation taking place right now that's reinvigorating, and people are just flocking to the Lord and cleaving unto holiness. We are in a time where many people are falling away. And even amongst the small group that we have, there's so much compromise. There's so many that some are holding on to a traditional lifestyle and are losing the fire in their life. So what are you going to do? Do we need to fall away as well? We say, well, the Lord, are these silent years? Folks, don't misunderstand me. There is still the preaching of the pureness of the gospel. Thank God for that. The Lord is still working in our lives individually. But right now, we don't see any real big reformation. People get excited when something's happening. When something big is going on, then people flock. We want to be part of something big that's going on. But are you willing this morning to be a Simeon? Are you willing to be a Mary? Are you willing to be an Elizabeth or a Zacharias that's willing during a time of silence? And we say, Lord, I don't understand what's going on. And there are people that are compromising and falling away. And there's just a few of us. Are you willing to be the one that will hold on to the promises of God and be steadfast and devout and faithful and consistent even in the silent years? Lord, help us this morning. Do you know that there was another promise that was given, and we will be done shortly, but do you realize there's another promise that I'm still looking forward to being fulfilled? You know what that is? Remember when the disciples looked up as Jesus, okay, now the prophecy fulfilled, Christ is here. And then he ascended up to heaven, and the disciples were there looking, and the angel said, what are you looking for? What he said, he's going to return in like manner. And we read shortly thereafter on the day of Pentecost that there were 3,000 saved. I'd say something was happening. See, I'd like to be part of that. There have been times when I was younger, and I can't say I still wouldn't have enjoyed it. I guess I understand. I'm in the time. This is my dispensation of the gospel. But there are times we say, oh, I would have liked to have been in this part of the time period of history, or I would have liked to have been 120 years ago when people were accepting the word and it was just going out and something big going on. Oh, but who's going to be faithful keeping the fire of God burning in your homes, in your family, in your small congregations? Who's going to be faithful to be steadfast and true? We read about the Christians then, they believed in the promise of the return of Christ because it was prophesied. Oh, we've seen the fulfillment of Daniel. We've seen Jesus coming, and we've been saved. We have the Holy Spirit. What a wonderful thing. But now they were looking forward to the coming back of Christ. And so some of the Christians in Jerusalem, remember, they went and sold everything they had. Because the Lord's coming back. The Lord's going to come back. I don't need my car. They didn't have cars, but if we did that today, I don't need my car. We don't need our houses. Let's just all bring everything we have, and we'll just, today's Brother Randy's day, he'll take feed and clothe us, and tomorrow I've got a little bit of money here, and I just put everything I have in the pot. And they had everything equal. But you know, that didn't last very long because they realized Jesus hadn't come back yet. I've got to have a place to live. I've got to have a horse to get to the next village. I've got to have, so we had to live life. Folks, the Lord hasn't come back yet. But I want us to remember, when it's prophesied, it's going to happen. Okay, so the early morning Christians, some of them thought it was going to happen. Do you know why we are not called the Church of D.S. Warner? You know why? Because D.S. Warner was wrong on some things. Now to some people, that's enough to kick me out of the church. But do you understand this is God's church? We believe what we believe not because of man, but because of the Word of God. That's why we live like we do. I appreciate those that have gone before us. But I want you to know, D.S. Warner publicly testified in public, in congregation, 120 years ago, that the Lord, he felt like God had told him that the Lord is going to return in his lifetime. That's according to the testimony of C.W. Naylor. He said he heard him say it, and he said there were others that told him they'd heard it multiple times. D.S. Warner said the Lord had told him. This is why D.S. Warner quit college, because he thought he only had a few years to go tell people to get saved, and then Jesus was coming back. Did he come back? Didn't come back. I'm still here. You're still here. But do you know it doesn't change the reality that he is coming back? So this is why we don't build our life on man. We build it on the Word of God. Because man can be wrong. We can misunderstand God sometimes. But when God says something in his Word, folks, it's true. And I'd like to close over and just point out in 2 Peter 1:19, we have a more sure word of prophecy. The Lord promised us something. He was going to come back. In 2 Peter, we're not going to take the time to read it all, but in closing, in 2 Peter, in the 3rd chapter, Peter was writing, he said, I want to stir up your pure minds. I want to stir up your minds this morning. He said, there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, saying, where's the promise of his coming? Remember what happened during the 400 years, this 400 silent years? People fell away, but God was still working. People today are saying, where's the signs of his coming? Where's the signs of his coming? You all have been saying Jesus is coming back for 2,000 years. He said, beloved, be not ignorant. See, Peter knew this was going to happen. Don't be ignorant. He said, one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. When the Lord says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. Folks, Jesus is going to come back. He said he would. He's going to come back. And he said the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, when we're not expecting it. If there was a great reformation, we'd say, oh, the Lord's coming back. And no, he's going to come as a thief in the night. And I'm not saying we are again in silent years, because we have Christ in our hearts and we have the Holy Spirit. But folks, I freely acknowledge that there's not a big reformation going on. So will you be one that will be faithful in maybe some silent years in this generation? The Lord's going to come back. He said, seeing the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and the heavens shall pass away, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. And then he goes on to say, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy manner of holiness and godliness, and holy conversation and godliness. And it goes on. This morning, there is a lot that happened from the ending of the prophecies of Malachi to the coming of Jesus Christ. Some silent years. But a lot of prophecies were being fulfilled. Today, there are some prophecies being fulfilled still today. There is a small remnant of people that are still holding on to the promises of God. I know it's been a while, but Lord, I still believe you're coming back. And I want to be one of those few. I want to be one of those few that when the Lord comes back, I can be there waiting and saying, Lord, I'm ready. I've been devout and steadfast and consistent. That's my personal desire. And I want to encourage you this morning that if it seems like that you're in having some silent times, and you wonder where God is, He's still here, He's still working, and He's still going to come back just like He said He would. Amen.